What's up, guys?
What's up, boozers?
Welcome back to another episode of Booze with the Hound. This is Rob J, a.k.a. the Booze Hound, a.k.a. Mezzarino.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Wyatt Starr, also known as Elbow Deep on the other podcast.
No, a.k.a., just also known?
Aka Wyatt... Aka Elbow Deep on the other podcast.
Aka Wyatt Chung.
Chung.
All right, come on.
Okay, we're not doing this tonight.
So, yeah, we're back. I'm a little sauced. I've been drinking. I'm going to get a little spacey today.
Yeah.
But it's all right, man. We got the lights. We got the LEDs.
We got the candles.
Lit up.
Got the rose petals.
Real sexy for you guys.
Got the bubble bath.
No, we don't have that.
Yeah, in case you guys didn't know, we actually record our podcast in the bubble bath together.
Yeah, that's how we get the reverb from the echo. No, we don't. Wyatt records on the toilet taking a shit. And I just have a mic in there for him.
He just chills in the bathtub.
In a different room. No,
you just like bathtub. Lines running through your house?
Completely different room, yeah.
Got nice.
Wired up. Yeah, but here we are again, second episode of 2019. We're back.
Back again.
So, how you doing?
Pretty good. Week was pretty good, but next week fucking school starts.
Ooh.
Really not excited for that shit.
Me neither, dude. School sucks.
It really does.
School is for fools.
Damn, you're right. I should just drop out.
Billy Madison says. That's what I tell you all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. You know how tempting it is, motherfucker.
I do it fucking around, but if he wants to, hey, fucking do it. And I know he wants to. He's thinking about it all the time. He tells me more and more.
Yeah,
he's going to do it.
School sucks.
Yeah. But
what about you? How's your week been?
It's been a good week. Got sick.
Nice.
Got
sicko mode.
I think I got what is it called? E. coli?
Yeah.
Sickness or something?
Ebola? Don't you have Ebola?
Yeah, I got Ebola. I'm bleeding from my butthole and my eyes.
Nice.
But yeah, I think I ate some undercooked chicken earlier this week and I got sick and it wasn't fun.
Yeah. No,
it wasn't fun. No, it's been a good week. Today was a good day. Went to my fiance's stepdad's birthday dinner.
Nice.
We ate at a really good place, and I had pho for the first time.
Pho?
Which was fucking amazing.
Nice.
It was good. No, it was good. I popped my cherry at a good place. It was called Pho and Seafood here in Visalia. If you guys are in this area, definitely a good place. They got a lot of good food.
Yeah, you can actually peep what he had for dinner on the Booze Hound cast.
Oh, yeah. Tell my story. It's not going to be there for long, so you probably won't be able to see it when this episode comes out. So there was no point of Wyatt telling you that. But it was there. If you saw it, then you saw it. No, but it was good. My fiance stepdad basically called me a pussy because I ordered a medium-sized bowl.
Nice.
And he was like, "You sure you don't want the large?"
Yeah, you sure? Bitch. Pussy ass motherfucker.
You sure? And I was like, fuck it. Give me the large. And I ate like the top portion of it and I tapped out and this dude fucking almost got to the bottom.
Jesus Christ.
But nah, that shit was good. I was super full. They almost had to wheel me out. Stuffed like a fucking Thanksgiving turkey. Super full. And then I get back home and my son wanted to have a WWE match when I was changing his diaper, and that shit was working up a sweat. That shit was not fun. He's at that age where he wants to wrestle a little bit.
Nice.
When I'm changing his diaper, he flips around. He's got some moves. He's got
some arm bars, some
the deep triangle on my wrist,
some folding chairs.
Yeah, just slamming me in the face and shit. Every time I change his diaper, he's gonna fucking, you know, he's a fucking asshole, but...
He's a great kid.
No, he's a good kid. But, yeah, it's been a good week.
Nice.
Been a good week. Cannot complain.
Good.
Yeah.
Solid.
And I'm a little, like I said, I'm a little sauced, but I'm about to get a little more sauced because...
What are we drinking today, boys?
So today, not today, the other day, we took a little trip to our very most favorite spot that we actually got video of.
Ooh, yeah.
We got video, and I'll be posting that on the Instagram, so check it out, Booze Hound Cast on Instagram. If you're not following it, what the fuck are you doing?
Go follow that shit.
If you don't have an Instagram account, you're fucking old, and make one. Have your grandkid help you make one. But we took a trip to
Total Wine.
And we went and cop some shit for the next 3 weeks.
Two weeks.
No, but not including. Okay. There's a different backstory to this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So we didn't go to Total Wine for this one.
No, for the next 2 weeks we did.
Yeah. But we did take a trip there. We got some video, we got some good clips. You guys actually see our hunting grounds.
Yes.
That we prowl around and check out.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah. But for this beer, this week's beer is a little different. So we work with, what's his name?
Aaron Jacobson.
My man, Aaron.
Aaron.
Shout out to you, my guy. I know you've been keeping up with the episodes. Thank you, dude.
Thank you.
You've been racking up those listens. You've been giving me 2 cents, one cent every time. So keep getting me paid, my guy. And half of that's going to my man right here. So, hey, keep listening.
Gracias.
So, so the backstory on this beer, it is, the name, it is Fresmo Hop Fuzz.
Oh, I didn't realize it has its own custom label, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's so cool.
So Aaron and his team, they do a Movember thing every year. So if you don't know what Movember is, it's just it's a yearly thing.
Yeah, every November.
Every November is just, you know, for men's health.
Yeah.
Prostate. You know, getting a prostate exam, checking for cancer,
mental health.
And they do a fundraiser, so they raffle off things, raise money, donate it, and it goes to a great cause.
Yeah.
So this year he actually teamed up with another group of gentlemen that do the same thing in Fresno.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, as a collective, they're called Fresmo. And they have a really cool label. They have a graphic design guy on there who designed the Fresmo, and it's like a mustache. You'll see it in the picture. I'll post a picture on the Instagram.
It's really cool.
And it's a mustache, and it says Fresmo, and it's a fucking really great design. So they linked up with one of the local breweries there, microbreweries, which is Tioga.
Tioga Sequoia.
Sequoia, yeah. So... whenever I saw it, I was like, fuck, this is a badass fucking... Just the logo itself is really badass.
It's so sick.
Yeah. And then he was telling us about this beer, and it was like the can is just, you know, it pops. It's like a cool orange can. I'll get into the description a little bit. So it's basically just a big solid label over a silver can, kind of like a Coors Light silver can, but there's a orange label over it, has the Fresmo logo on it, and then it has the Hot Fuzz, which is like a glass overflowing with the head of the beer, and then Hop Fuzz is some cool drippy kind of a little bit graffiti kind of letters. Great looking beer.
It really is.
You know, if this was on the shelf, definitely would pop. I think, well, this was a limited beer. I think they only brewed a limited amount of this. They had some kegs and some 6-packs or 4-packs, whatever they sold these in. We actually went to an event and we took photos of it and stuff, and they were selling this, and a lot of people liked it. So
yeah, I remember I went to that event and I bought a couple glasses.
Like, did you like it?
Yeah. When we were in Mexico, I tried it and everything. It was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. So this was a really good beer. I'm excited to try it. not only because it's a beer that somebody that I work with was involved in, but it just looks like a really, really cool beer. And yeah, it is, it's an IPA. It's a champagne IPA. Forgot to mention that, which was a big selling point because I have never heard of a champagne IPA before this one. So makes you feel a little fucking fancy. Makes you feel like you got some money when you're a little short on the rent this month.
So's fancy.
So pop you a bottle of this.
And you'll fuck.
You'll be feeling like Drake in the club and shit.
Champagne poppy.
A little champagne poppy for you. Pour that shit in the glass.
I bet if Drake drank beer, he
would say that five times fast.
Drake beer. No, for real, if he drank that,
yeah,
I think that this would be his beer of choice.
Yeah, that'd be his beer. He'd pour it all over his fucking big old nipples and be dripping down his chest. And be wearing a yarmulke because he's Jewish. So it's good. I think it'd be a good beer. But I want to try this. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
Nice.
Because I'm a little, inebriated.
Brined.
At the moment.
He's brewing right now.
I'm brewing my own brew. My own brew right now. And it's the brew of Mezzarino.
Mezzarino brew.
It's the brew of the hound.
Brew hound.
The brew hound.
The brew hound.
And it's coming in. It's coming out of, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. So I'm just going to crack this open. Let me give this a little crack. Can you hear that? You can hear that, right?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty crisp already. So let's...
That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was a nice pop.
Woo!
Let me get a sniffer.
Smell those hops. Ooh. I open and that shit just... I know that smell. It's pretty familiar. So let me pour this in the glass. I poured some on my carpet just a little bit. Just all right.
Just leaving your mark here.
We'll make it out. We'll make it out of this alive. We'll make it out.
Is that glass gonna be big enough?
Yeah, it is. No, it's not.
Wow, that is a really pretty color.
Oh man, that almost looks. Wow, that is. That's a really It looks almost like the can. It's a pretty.
Yeah, it's super orange.
Orange. It's not even. Now that you put the line,
it's still orange.
It looks exactly, pretty much like the can. It's pretty orange, nice. It's got a nice glow. I don't know what I just dropped. I dropped something on my foot. but yeah, really good looking beer. It doesn't have a big head, which it was a champagne beer, so I was expecting this shit to just... I thought there was a cork under the can that was just going to pop out. but not too bubbly. Immediately when I opened the beer, I smelled the hops.
Yeah.
But let me give it a good old whiff-roo here. I just poured it into a glass, so I'm going to get a big open area to sniff. So let me sniff the shit out of this beer real quick. You know what? When I opened it, I think there was so much concentration on the little opening that it just shot the hops in my nose. But now that it's open like this, it doesn't smell too hoppy.
Really?
Not bad at all. Not what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be super overpowering.
Yeah.
But this smells like a pretty mild hop.
That's good.
So hopefully I think that's kind of might be the balance of the champagne and the I like a little champagne drunk because it sneaks up on you and makes you feel really cool. Sometimes you're wearing a tuxedo. Sometimes you're just in your underwear.
Classy.
And
also classy.
Yeah. You go to Save Mart, you buy you a nice bottle of
Cheap.
Yeah. I fucked up. I just remembered that it's not called a champagne IPA. It's called the Brute IPA.
Oh.
So,
but it is the champagne of IPA?
No. So, Brut is a type of champagne that you can buy.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That is my bad. I'm sorry, guys.
That makes sense.
Like I said, I'm a little drunk.
Yes.
So, yeah, me and Aaron had this conversation. It is a Brut IPA.
Okay.
So, Brut is a type of champagne. There's, like, dry, and then there's...
wet.
Some other bullshit.
Moist.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
Chungus. Champagne.
Chung pain.
You don't know what you're talking. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to the Elbow Deep podcast. You get a whole backstory on this bullshit.
Yeah.
Just know Chungus is the Chungus, and this is the Chungus of all
Chungs.
Yeah. So it's a Brut IPA, which derives from champagne, and so I fucked up. But still, champagne is tied to this whole thing. So let me give it an old taste-a-roo. Let's let the hound do its job. So let me taste it. Yeah. That's an IPA, but it is... it's a lot smoother.
Really?
A lot smoother. Not the typical IPAs that I'm used to drinking that just fucking... slap your mustache off your face. Definitely a lot smoother, and I'm getting some sweet citrusy notes. Let me give it another little taste here.
I would say I took a smell of it. It really reminded me of orange.
Yeah, there's some orange, maybe grapefruit kind of notes in there.
Definitely, actually.
But... it has...
how'd you say grapefruit, actually?
So, initially, when it hits your tongue, it's not super overpowering, but it has a really smooth finish. It sits on your tongue long enough, but an IPA, some of the other stronger IPAs that I've had, they really just linger for a long time. This one slowly fades out, and... I kind of want to say there's a hint of, like, guava in there.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Like a really fruity, like a guava. It's, oh, man, this is a good beer.
Really?
I really like this.
You like it?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me taste it one more time because I've only had two. Let me give it a third and see.
I mean, he wasn't kidding about the color, though. The color of this beer is really orange. Like, if you ever had orange Gatorade or orange Kool-Aid, that is... almost the exact color of this beer.
All right, so if you listen to some of the other podcasts where I reviewed IPA and I described that super strong bite that just like really gets your tongue, this one is almost like a hug.
Aww.
On your tongue. It's very friendly.
It's a Care Bear.
It hugs your tongue and then it slips away. And once it's gone, you're like, hey, friend.
Come back.
Let me get another sip of you.
Let me get another little hug.
Yeah.
Hug my tongue, please.
So this is for an IPA. I actually really like this beer. This is a good beer.
Really?
And I'm not just saying this because I know Aaron.
No, yeah.
Because he's a fucking piece of shit.
Oh.
No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
You've already drank.
He's a great guy.
More of that IPA than I've ever seen you have of an IPA before. Like, I've seen you drink them, but...
yeah.
Considering time, you've actually been drinking
most
it.
Of them, I just slowly... drink, and then when you're not looking, I just dump it. But no, this one is really good.
You want?
I would definitely, if I was feeling crazy, wanted to impress some people.
There you go.
I'd buy this definitely. Definitely. So let's get into the rating.
All right. So let's see. From 0 to 10. 0 to 10 champagnes. Champagne poppies. Zero to ten champagne poppies.
On his toes today, guys. I like that. That was a nice save.
Thanks.
Yeah. 0 to 10 champagne poppies. For an IPA, which I have rated pretty low on this show, or mediocre, not very low, I'd give this... 8 champagne poppies.
Really?
Yeah.
That is impressive.
This is an enjoyable beer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
I like it. I like it.
And I know you don't like IPA.
Yeah. I really don't like IPA.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That must be a really good beer then.
No, it is. It is. Kudos to you guys.
Tioga Sequoia. Good brew.
Yeah, this is a good beer. I know it was, everyone was talking to me, said it was seasonal. It was a limited time, but they're thinking of putting it on their menu permanently.
That would be pretty cool.
Under a different name, though. It's not going to be the same.
Oh,
name.
Okay.
But if you do, because he went on the website and he was looking for it, and he didn't find like any trace of a brute IPA. So if you guys don't have it anymore, like, fuck, this is a good beer. Bring it back.
Bring it back, please.
Put that shit on there.
Please.
Yeah. But no, this is a good beer. I'm not sitting here trying not to drink it.
Yeah, no.
I actually want another sip, so. This is a good beer. So we got...
I have a treat for you guys.
We got another treat for you guys here.
So I'm going to be doing a soda review.
A what?
A soda review.
Oh, my little boy's growing up.
So I was at Save Mart today. And as
did you have your ID with you?
Oh shit, I didn't. They didn't card me.
Did you have your driver's permit with you so they could identify you?
I did have that.
Yeah. Was your mom with you?
Okay, look. But no, I was walking down the drink aisle and I saw this really cool bottle, really nice and curvy. Like some good looking men.
Ooh.
Nice and curvy men. But anyways.
He emphasized men.
Men. It's a pretty cool bottle. I have a pomegranate soda here.
That is a pretty cool bottle. It almost looks like...
fit my butt pretty well.
No. That took a turn for the worst. I'm sorry, guys. It looks like... one of those Australian...
Was it Bojero or something like that?
I don't know. Whatever the fuck it's called. It kind of looks like one of those.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it's pomegranate soda.
Whoa. Getting crazy today.
I know. I heard if you shake it, it helps bring out the flavors a bit. So let me shake this up real quick. I'm just kidding. I'm going to give you guys a good crack, just like Rob gives you guys a good crack.
Ooh.
It actually squirted everywhere. Nice meme.
Wow, dude. Way to fuck up your first soda review. That was trash.
Jesus.
That was so bad.
All right, we're going to take a break and let this sit for a second. Every single time I print this, it's flow heavy. Tampax necessary. Like Boston George, I do this one line at a time, baby. This that new shit, this exclusive. Hit an 8-ball with no pool stick on that bullshit. Jesus.
Alright, so we're back, guys. After a long fucking time waiting for this thing to settle down.
For real.
Calm your tits, soda.
Alright. I'm going to give you guys a good sniffer.
Wait. No. Hold on.
Teach me your ways.
No. This thing got out of hand.
Yeah, dude.
This thing got out of hand. It squirted all over Wyatt's pop filter, all over his hands. And Wyatt tried to crack it open a little while ago.
And it kept...
It didn't work. And then he nearly shat his pants.
Yeah.
He sprayed me like a skunk.
Oh.
Which was pretty funny. But proceed.
Let me give you guys a good sniffer-oony here. Hold on, one more. Smells like pomegranates.
Wait, so what's the name?
Pomegranate.
What's the company?
Pacific Coast Selections.
Okay.
You can find it at Save Mart.
Nice.
and pomegranate. That's all it says on the fucking label. So
in depth.
It's a really nice red color.
Okay.
So I'm gonna take a little sip of Rooney here for you.
Oh god. Goblin a chung. Now we know where the carbonation's coming from. Are you alright?
It's pretty good.
It's like 45% alcohol.
just fucking knocked just off. Slammed like fucking right rocks. But no, in all seriousness, it tastes like pomegranates. It's really fucking carbonated.
So carbonated pomegranates.
That's it's like it? Super carbon. Yeah, pretty much. You want to try a sip?
Yeah, let me see.
You can actually drink my drink now, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Carbonated pomegranates.
That's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
That was a really...
Good review, dude.
Thanks, man.
Good.
I don't know where the lid went.
Let's,
There it is.
Let's see if these kids buy these, man. They're going to be flying off the shelf after this review. Save Mart's going to be knocking on my door trying to sponsor us.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Enough of those shenanigans. So, getting into the stories. So, this time... we went overseas. Overseas, over the pond.
It's a really big pond.
It is a big pond. To visit one of our pals.
Who do we visit?
One of our friends. And we visit this guy in Paris.
Paris.
But we go back in time.
Oh, no.
Because the man that we are discussing today... why are you dropping shit all the fucking time? Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
So the man we're dropping. So the man we're talking about today, his name is Marcel Petiot.
Marcel Petiot.
And is not from Italy.
Oh, my bad.
He is from...
Paris.
No, he's from France. He's a French man. French docteur.
Nice.
That sounded... I don't know what that was. But this man was a serial killer.
Ooh.
Serial killer. He was convicted of multiple murders after the discovery of 23 people in the basement of his home in Paris.
What the fuck?
During World War II.
What the fuck?
What the fuck is right, my friend? So this guy, he was a guy, and he killed people.
Nice.
And that was just 23 people that they found, remains that they found. So
jeez.
There could have been a much larger body count. So... Marcel André Henry Félix Petiot.
Jesus.
This guy sounds Mexican with all these goddamn names. He was born January 17th, 1897, and he died May 25th, 1946. So, like I said, this guy was a doctor. Did doctorly things.
Weren't doctors back then like hella whack, though?
It was questionable back then. You can literally put a Band-Aid on somebody and they're like...
you're healed.
Doctor?
Doctor?
You're a doctor?
You're a doctor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oui. I... him.
I am. Is he a doc?
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Technical difficulties.
Did my lights just burn out?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Whoa. Oh, no, they're back on.
All right. We got a strobe party going on right now. I got some LED lights that are acting kind of weird.
Kind of creepy, actually.
It is kind of creepy. Are these the spirits? If so, talk to me through Wyatt.
Rob. Hey, look, bud. I'll eat your ass if you want.
Excuse me?
Yeah, this is Satan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm down to eat your ass if you want.
Is it going to burn?
Well, did you eat Taco Bell?
No, but you're from hell. Aren't you hot?
People call me hot, but that's just what people say. What the fuck?
What happened?
I was possessed.
Do you know by who?
Satan?
Satin.
Satin?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Satin?
I don't know. You were trying to do laundry and shit.
What?
It was weird.
What the fuck?
The lights kept flickering. And you stuck your phone.
Is that what's in my ass?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Wow. Yeah, so let's get into the early life of this man. Like I said, January 17th, that's when he was born. 1897, that was a long fucking time ago. In Auxerre, France. So at the age of 11, he fired his dad's gun for the very first time.
Nice.
Very and memorable. Propositioned one of his female classmates to have sex.
Whoa.
Said, what? Hey girl, let's fuck or I'm gonna shoot you. Didn't go well. So this dude kind of had a bit of a fucked up, you know, young childhood. In his teenage years, he robbed a post box and was charged with damage of public property and theft.
So this is dude's childhood. It's just...
Yeah, he had a couple things going on. So he was actually forced to have psychiatric evaluation, and they discovered he actually had a mental illness. So these charges against him were dropped, and just other people that were interviewed after they discovered he was a murderer just said that when he was younger, he did a bunch of crazy shit, but this was a long time ago, so
I don't know how.
Some of the things that people claimed he did could have been fabricated.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a psychiatrist, again, diagnosed him with a mental illness on May 26, 1914, so he was older. So he was expelled from school a bunch of times, and he ended up finishing his education in a special
academy.
Special. Whoa! This IPA is definitely catching up.
I can tell.
Special academy in Paris in 1915. So during World War One, he volunteered for the French army, entering service in 1916. In the Second Battle of Aisne, he was wounded and gassed, and he kind of exhibited a little more symptoms of a mental breakdown. Okay. So he was sentenced to different rest homes, where he was eventually arrested for stealing
army
blankets. So he must have been pretty... He was a cold-blooded dude and a cold...
Oh, he also stole morphine and other army supplies as well, huh?
Yeah, morphine is it's a drug you want to be on right there because it makes you forget about everything. Yeah, he stole other things, stole wallets. He stole letters and photographs.
That's kind of creepy.
Which was probably a big... I mean...
Well, back then.
Now it's like stealing somebody's phone, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So he got sent to jail in Orleans. I'm assuming that's in Paris.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
In France.
Yeah. So in a psychiatric hospital, he was again diagnosed with various mental illnesses, but he was returned to the front in June 1918. So he got sent back to war. So there was a bunch of crazy ass motherfuckers fighting this shit. And I mean, wow, that's pretty much what they wanted. Crazy motherfuckers.
It's pretty sick.
Pretty sick. So he was transferred 3 weeks after he returned, after he allegedly injured his own foot with a grenade, but was attached to a new regiment in September.
How do you think that happened?
I think he was just...
Fucking around with a grenade one day?
Yeah.
And he accidentally dropped it and pulled the pin?
Maybe. Or maybe he did it on purpose. Possibly. It was an accident. He just wanted to get the fuck out of there. So this is a little bit of background on his, how he started in the medical field. So after the war, he entered an accelerated education program that was intended for war veterans, and completed medical school in 8 months, and became an intern at a mental hospital.
That's pretty ironic.
Which is pretty ironic, exactly. And then he received his medical degree in 1921 and moved to a different town where he received payments for his services, both from patients and from government medical assisted funds.
Huh.
So this guy was making money. He was a crazy dude treating crazy people, which is pretty ironic.
Yeah, for real.
And at this point, I mean, he had done all this shit, but he was still using narcotics. So
he's probably still on that morphine.
I mean, yeah, morphine. I mean, probably wasn't morphine anymore. He's probably using some street drugs that was similar to morphine.
Hmm.
But yeah, he was still fucked up. Yeah, but while he was there, he gained a reputation for his practices, such as supplying narcotics, performing illegal abortions, and Whoa. Theft. So an example of this was money from the town's treasury.
Jeez.
The bass drum of a local band, and a stone cross. So this dude was fucking...
If he wanted it, he wanted it.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what the fuck it was.
All right, so in the middle of doing all this shit, this is when he kind of started his whole murdering career.
Yikes.
So his first victim, people speculate of being a man...
It's actually a woman. Sorry, guys. I fucked up.
Name Luis, or Louis... I don't know how you would say it in French. De la Vue. So this guy was an elderly patient's daughter with whom Pitiot had an affair in 1926.
Hmm.
So De la Vue disappeared in May of that year, and neighbors later said that they had seen Pitiot load a trunk into his car. Police investigated, but eventually dismissed her case as a runaway. The same year, Pitot ran for mayor of the town and hired somebody to disrupt a political debate with his opponent. So he ended up winning.
Now he's mayor.
And while he was in office, he embezzled all the town's funds.
There you go. What a great guy.
This guy is the kind of mayor that I want. You know, somebody that takes all my money.
Sounds like a great dude.
Dude, this guy's a great fucking dude.
Great dude.
Great dude. So in June 1927, he married Georgette LaBlaise.
These French names got me fucked up.
I don't
up.
Know who this is. These French names are kind of hard to pronounce. Kind of hard to pronounce. So she was the daughter. Or she was the 20-year-old, 23-year-old, fucking, hey.
23-year-old daughter. Yeah.
Come on.
And her dad was
Pick me up.
Her dad was a really wealthy landowner and a butcher as well. Their son, as in Petiot, and his wife, La Belisse, La, blah, 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 blah. I can't rent. Oh, what the fuck?
You fucking Borat now? Or
what?
My wife, her pussy hang like the sleeve of wizard.
Jesus. Anyways, the couple had a son, and he was born in April of 1928.
Yeah.
The prefect of Yanni department received many complaints about Petiot's thefts and crimes and stuff like that. And Petiot was eventually suspended as mayor in August of 1931. So his kid is like five, right?
Yeah.
Four or five?
Something like that.
And his dad is now being suspended.
Yeah. But and after all this, he still had a bunch of supporters.
Really?
Yeah. And the village council, they quit out of sympathy for this guy.
Wow.
So this guy had some pull. He was sucking some dicks.
Nice.
And he was doing his thing. And, I mean, he must have been pretty persuasive, you know, in order to
still have all these shooters on his side.
Yeah.
To still have everybody supporting him after, you know, all the embezzling and thefts and shady deals. And
yeah, he was a fucked up dude. So after this happened, 5 weeks after this happened, on the 18th of October, he was elected as counselor of the Yanni department.
Jeez, man.
So he's got all this shit going on, and they're like,
yeah,
let's elect this guy as counselor.
Yes, sir.
So let's do it. So in 1932, he was accused of stealing electric power from a village.
Wow.
So think about this. Now, if you steal from your neighbor's electricity, it is extremely illegal. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a misdemeanor or whatever the fuck it is. This guy stole power from a whole fucking village. And these people were still behind him.
Damn.
So he lost his council seat. And after that, he moved to Paris. So when he moved to Paris, he attracted patients with fake credentials. So this guy's just fucking shitty all around.
Shitty dude.
And he kind of built a reputation for his practice at 66 Rue de Caumartin. And there was rumors of illegal abortions, and he was prescribing addictive remedies and a bunch of shit.
Sounds like shit.
Despite all this shit, people were still coming to him.
Nice.
So in 1936, he was appointed
Medicine de Etat Civil.
Yeah.
Basically, the fucking civil medical dude.
Yeah, and he had the authority to write death certificates.
Damn. So,
that opens up a lot of doors for this man.
This dude is perfect to serial killer material.
So that same year, he was briefly institutionalized, but he was released the next year. Like, this dude's dodging
every single bullet.
Dude, imagine life in the early 19th. Like, how fucked up was it that people didn't give a shit?
Apparently not.
People didn't give a shit about anything.
Not at all.
They're literally putting psychopaths
as council members and
mayor. As council members, and then institutionalizing them and then putting them back.
Then nobody give a fuck.
Like, what? Oh man. I don't understand this shit.
Pretty whack.
Yeah.
So he was in World War II, I believe. And he was. I'm sorry.
No, he was in World
War II. But after 1940, when Germany defeated France, the French citizens were drafted to forced labor in Germany because they lost.
Yeah.
Patriot provided false medical disability certificates to people who were drafted so they didn't have to do the forced labor. He also treated the illness of workers who had returned, and in July 1942, he was convicted of overprescribing narcotics. Even though
surprise, surprise.
Not like he's done it bajillion other times before.
Yeah.
Even though two addicts who had testified against him and had disappeared. He was.
I wonder where they went.
In his basement. He was fined 2,400 francs.
Which is like 55 cents.
That's probably like, back then it's probably like a couple hundred grand almost, huh?
I don't know. See. What's a franc?
Let's see if they have, even have a conversion rate for money back then.
I'm sure they do. Huh. Frank's such a weird, like, how do you rap about that? Spending francs. Like, I got friends named Frank. That's weird.
They don't have a conversion rate for it. But I can't imagine it was a cheap amount of money.
But what is a franc to a dollar right now?
That's what I'm saying. They don't have any conversion.
Oh, they don't have anything for...
No, I think, you know, back then it was really hard to keep track of stuff like this. Like, you know, how much what equals.
Yeah.
All there really is about it is, like, the actual coin.
Mm.
So, I guess it was a lot.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, here we go. So, I think 0.01 French franc was equivalent to less than a cent. So 100 francs is still not even a cent.
Really?
Yeah.
So this guy was literally paying like 24 bucks.
Yeah. So an entire French franc would equal about 1 cent. If so I'm doing my math right.
Yeah, so he's paying like $24.
Yeah.
This guy paid $24.
$2.40, right?
For a fine. Oh, $2? No.
Yeah, $2.40.
Is it?
I don't know.
Something like that. Either way, it's fucking cheap.
Yeah, it's not that lot.
This guy was getting off pretty light. So later on, he claimed that during the period of German occupation, he was engaged in resistance activities, and allegedly he developed secret weapons that killed Germans without leaving forensic evidence.
What the fuck? Dude has fucking the craziest life.
Oh, yeah. So it says here he planted booby traps all over Paris, had high-level meetings with Allied commanders, and worked with a group of Spanish anti-fascists.
Damn.
And there's no evidence to support any of these statements. This is just shit that he was. He had mental illness. He was just saying a bunch of shit, and people were buying it.
Because it's fucking 1921.
Yeah. So in 1980, he was cited by former U.S. spy master Cole J.F. Grombach as a World War II source. So Grombach had been founder of the head of a small independent espionage agency, later known as the Pawn. Didn't we just talk about the Pawn?
Yeah, the Little Pond.
Which operated from 1942 to 1955. Grombach asserted that Pitiot had reported that Katyn Forest Massacre. German missiles development at Piemont. And I know I'm butchering all these names, but I'm not French. And the name of Abwehr against...
Agents, but it's agents.
Agents.
All these fucking French words.
Sent to the U.S., while these claims were not supported by any records other than services in 2001, some Pawn, in quotations, were recorded discovered, including a cable that mentioned Pitiot.
It's like a telegraph or something like that mentioned him just briefly, and there you go. That's all his credibility right there.
Yeah.
That's all he has.
Yep. So not much. So on March 11, 1944, Pitiot's neighbor in Rue Le Sueur complained to the police about a foul stench in the area and large amounts of smoke billowing from a chimney.
I wonder what that is.
Of the house. Fearing a chimney fire, the police summoned firemen who entered the house and found a roaring fire in a coal stove in the basement. In the fire, scattered
in the basement were human remains. What the fuck?
Human remains. And there's a couple pictures of the scene, just really crude black and white pictures from 1944. Look pretty crazy. So in addition to his basement, a quicklime pit in the backyard contained human remains as well, in a canvas bag, which also the canvas bag had human remains in it.
Yeah.
So in his home, enough body parts were found to make at least 10 victims.
Jesus Christ.
Also scattered throughout his property were suitcases, clothing, and assorted property of his victims.
Dude's an actual fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
And nobody knew.
No. Nobody knew. So after this all got out, the media was covering this pretty extensively. A newspaper dubbed the doctor Butcher of Paris, Scalper of Itioli, the Monster of Rue Le Sueur, the Demonic Ogre, and Dr. Satan, which is my personal favorite. Hey, because guys, when I go to get my bi-yearly checkup,
prostate exam,
I'm not that old, bitch. I want to get checked out by Dr. Satan, because I know he's going to be a hell of a doctor.
Oh, hell yeah.
One Satin. Satan.
Is that what they said about him?
No, that's just what I'm making up.
Nice. You know?
So later, other names would be proposed for the murder suspects, from underground assassins to Werewolf of Paris.
God damn. This motherfucker's got all the cool names taken.
Yeah, this guy is... He's got a lot of cool names. We've covered a few serial killers, and I've personally heard a lot of serial killers and some of their earlier names, and some of them are pretty whack. And this guy's got a lot of fucking cool names. Yeah. So the media, I mean, this shit covered it pretty extensively, went internationally. Fucking Switzerland, Belgium, Scandinavia. Jesus. And yeah, this guy was in the headlines.
He was popping.
On a daily basis. So it was pretty intense. So they didn't get this guy right away. During the 7 months into this investigation, Pitiot hid with friends, claiming that Gestapo wanted him because he had killed Germans and informers. So again, he had used his fucking charm or whatever he had to fool people to hide him. And he eventually moved in with a patient, which was Georges Redoux. And he let his beard grow and adopted various aliases. During the liberation of Paris in 1944, Pitiot adopted the name Henri Valery and joined French forces of the interior in the uprising. He became a captain in charge of counter-espionage and prisoner interrogations. So this guy...
What the fuck?
All this shit. He still works his fucking way all the way back up, which is crazy.
Jesus Christ, man.
When the newspaper Resistance published an article about Bidault. His defense attorney from 1942 narcotics case reviewed a letter which his fugitive client claimed that the published allegations were mere lies. This gave police a hint that Bidault was still in Paris. The search began, and it began with Henri Valéry, among who were drafted to find him.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So this dude was drafted to find himself.
Jeez.
Yeah. He was in, he was mixed
how,
up.
How all did the, nobody?
I don't know. So on October 31st, Bidault was recognized at a Paris metro station and arrested. Among his possessions were a pistol, 31,700 francs, which is like fucking $310, and 50 sets of identity documents.
God damn.
Yeah. So this guy was
just fucking amazing.
He was a snake.
Yeah. But eventually he was in prison and in La Santé prison. My accents are all fucked up.
Yeah.
But his claim was that he never killed any innocent people. He claimed that all those people were part of the resistance. And, you know, part of the resistance or collaborators of the resistance. So, he was just claiming that they were just bad guys, that they were just enemies, that what he did wasn't any innocent people, that, you know, he just killed a fucking enemy. That's all it was. And, but it turns out that he had actually no correlation with anything in the wartime. Like, any of the resistance members that he, you know, kept citing or anything like that.
Yeah.
Were like, nah, I don't know this dude. He's, nah. Get the fuck out of here.
So this guy was just an imposter all the way around.
All the way around. Fucking amazing. So they ended up charging him with 27 different murders and murder for profit. So kind of sounds like a hitman if you ask me. But I don't know. Anyways, they estimated that he gained about 200 million francs from this entire operation of which killing about people.
$200.
Which, but I guess back then was a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Anyways, he went to court and everything, and his, he faced 135 criminal charges.
God.
Yeah. And René Floriat acted for his defense, but the city or the, you know, the state or whatever, however Paris does his shit, or France or whatever.
Yeah.
Had 12 civil lawyers. For the victims of Petiot's crimes. And
only 12?
I guess. I don't know. But his lawyer kept on trying to paint him as a wartime hero, kind of what he was doing was good because he was killing the enemies, quote right. unquote.
Yeah.
But pretty much the judge and the fucking jurors weren't impressed and did not buy it at all. So Petiot was ended up being convicted of 26 counts of murder, because I believe in total they found like 27 bodies in his house.
Yeah.
So he was convicted of 26 counts of murder and was sentenced to death. On the 25th of May, Petiot was beheaded after a stay of a few days due to a problem in the release of the mechanism of the guillotine.
The guillotine. Off with his head.
Chopped off.
Yeah, this guy got, I think he got what he deserved.
For real. You know, this probably won't sound very good, but it's almost kind of impressive how good he was able to hide everything and
oh, definitely
not get discovered at all.
Yeah. Like, this dude was blending in so good.
Yeah, for real.
It was insane. Like, that shit's,
you know,
just crazy.
It goes to show you how fucked up the old days were.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to the 90s, and I think that time was scary. Because we didn't have cell phones, and we didn't have ways to communicate, and just, like, you know, when some shit was popping off, it's not like you can everybody know.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in those days, like, it was even harder
to get shit out. Or way less
connected. So, like, it's like really scary to think. Like, it's scary. I think it's scary, but I also, which is the reason why I love shit like this.
Yeah.
Is because I think I don't want to say cool because I know people got hurt and killed.
Yeah.
But if I was a serial killer and I know we all have those thoughts, you want to kill somebody, but no, like if I was a serial killer, I would want to operate in a time where it was
way less connected.
Yeah. Like
way easier to get away.
You can literally kill your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
There's no forensics. There's nothing back then.
Take them way out in the middle of nowhere.
It's just word of mouth. And like this, I think this case goes to show that none of that shit existed because this dude was literally getting elected for fucking council and he was the mayor and all this shit.
It just shows how advanced we are today.
Yeah.
Our fucking forensics and just ability to find people and how connected we are and how fast we're able to realize that people are missing and shit.
Exactly.
Like that. That's crazy.
You know, and back then, you know, it wasn't odd to not hear from somebody for a month
or years
because you had to fucking send a letter in the mail and shit or on horseback or with a fucking pigeon and shit. And this is just, it's crazy.
It really is.
But that's the story of this guy. And this was actually submitted to us by one of our listeners.
Oh, really?
So I want to shout out Rebecca T. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for submitting this story. It was an interesting story. This was pretty cool. Going overseas, doing something a little different.
Yeah, we actually traveled there. And
Yeah. But really good story. So shout out to you. Keep listening. Thank you. So what do you got?
I got, you know, classic stupid-ass criminals.
Classico.
And, I was going to read this one first, but I think I'm going to say this one for last because it's probably my favorite one. Here's my second favorite one. Vatican drug orgy broken up by cops.
Oh. They finally showed up to the party?
Yeah. Like, hey, we got a noise complaint.
Not making enough noise, motherfucker.
But just imagine that. You know, the Vatican is, you know, a holy, you know, holy.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids there. There's a lot of holes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Now, the Vatican is like, it's like a religious group, kind of, I believe.
Jesus Chung.
But imagine. I can't even continue. Jesus,
Chungus
on the cross.
Big old Chungus on the cross.
Ah, shit.
Yes, I want a gold Chungus around my neck. Praise the Lord.
Does your chung hung low?
Does your chung hung low? Does it wiggle to the floor? How do you know that song, but you don't know a bunch of other songs?
Leave me alone.
That song literally came out when I was like 12.
Are you serious?
How do you know that song? Yeah.
Because it's a pretty popping song.
No, it's not.
It's a pretty cool song, though.
That, why are you dropping everything?
How'd you leave me alone? Stop fucking judging me, man.
Did you put butter on your hands before you came
over? No, I put a shit ton of soda on it.
Then it should be sticky, so why would you drop things?
I don't know.
You're dropping everything.
I know.
I'm about to drop you through this goddamn
chung hole.
This chung hole right here. I'm going to kick through this wall right now.
Hell yeah. But nah, for real, imagine being a cop and walking in and seeing your priest in a giant fucking orgy. High as fuck.
What do you do?
Just pray to God.
There is no God.
Oh, shit. Alrighty. That's pretty fucking crazy.
That's how you're gonna transition.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're not even gonna get into it.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Do you believe in God?
No, I do not.
Me neither.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So turn it.
Alrighty. Next one. Man farts at detectives until he Man farts detectives until he's released.
What is he, a skunk?
Look at the picture of this dude.
Oh.
Look at how smug he looks.
He looks like he's got some farts.
He's got some bad, yeah, he had Taco Bell before getting
obviously
arrested.
He wasn't released because he's got a mugshot.
That's fucking amazing, though. That's perfect.
How?
I don't know. Like, can you fart on command?
Some people can. I know you fart when you laugh.
Yeah, I do.
And it's pretty funny.
So apparently they pulled him over, and he had drugs and two guns in the car, right?
Yeah.
And they arrested him and started interviewing him and stuff. And they were asking, like, address of, like, where he got the drugs, right? And so this dude leans over his chair, rips a fat-ass fart, and doesn't say the address. And he just keeps ripping farts the entire time. Through the entire interview, he's just ripping ass.
In the back of a cop car?
No, in the interrogation room.
Oh,
that
shit.
Small little interrogation room. It just got
closed off?
Yeah. Just got filled up.
Just gassing him?
Yeah. Trying to gas him out.
And it worked.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Circumcision by a gun. Ooh.
That sounds...
I felt that one.
That sounds bad. How?
A robber in Chicago faced the ultimate punishment when he shot his own dick.
So he performed his own circumcision.
Yeah, the dude was holding up a hot dog stand as well.
How ironic is that? Why would you hold up a hot dog stand? How much money can you get from that?
Apparently...
Not very lucrative.
No, this motherfucker went up to a fucking hot dog shop, held it up, stole the money, and on his way out accidentally shot himself in the dick.
Oh, so the cops weren't even there yet?
No, he shot himself in the dick.
Come on, Cheddar Bob.
What the fuck?
You know who Cheddar Bob is?
No.
Come on.
I don't know who Cheddar Bob is. I'm
8 Mile. Eminem. The movie.
I've always meant to watch that movie, but I never
Dude, are you fucking kidding me?
No.
You've never seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Dude.
I've watched bits and pieces of it.
Who the fuck are you? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
Next time you're here, we gotta watch that movie.
Ooh.
Gotta watch it on our lunch break in increments. How have you never seen that movie?
I don't know. I've just never gotten around to it.
That's a great fucking movie.
I know. I watched like a good 30-minute portion of it at some point.
Holy shit, dude.
It looks really good.
Wow. I really can't believe you right now.
I'm really sorry.
This is more shocking to me than this man shooting his fucking dick skin off. That you have not seen this movie.
Technically, I've seen it.
No, you have not.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay.
You ready for the next headline?
I guess. What other fucking movies haven't you seen? Please.
Titanic.
Have you seen Friday?
No.
What? I don't think I can have you in my house anymore.
I'm sorry. I'll just go.
All right, so Wyatt's gone. So this is just single booze hound. I'm going to read his next story because he's gone. So I'm going to see if I can do as good as him. So what's up, guys? This is Wyatt Bar Chocolate Bar. Here with the headlines. So, guy hiding from cops falls through... Okay, I think he made his presence known because he just farted. Here, dude, read this fucking thing because you stink. Please.
Guy hiding from
I need cough. You out of here as soon as possible because you smell like shit.
Ooh. Guy hiding from cops falls through ceiling, lands right in front of him. This motherfucker tried to escape by crawling through the ceiling, falls through the T-bar system, and lands right in front of the cops.
Why would you think that your fat ass can crawl through a T-bar ceiling?
I don't know, man.
Like, these things are just, like, it's like foam holding you up.
You know what the best part is? He's in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
You know what else is in Scranton?
The Office.
Dunder Mifflin. It makes me think of that one scene where Kelly throws her cat through the ceiling.
I was just about to say that. When Oscar goes through the ceiling, and she was like, "So pull me up." He's like, "You're too heavy." He's like, "Take the cat," and throws it up, and the cat just falls through. Right through the ceiling. This guy obviously hasn't seen The Office before.
No.
Because if you know that a cat can fall through the ceiling, a human
is definitely not going to be able to.
Definitely not. No. So don't try.
Don't do this.
Don't do it.
Are you ready for a final one?
Let's hear it.
Over $1,000 falls out of an alleged drug dealer's butt in county jail.
Was it rolled up?
I'm assuming so.
Was it a bag?
This dude's either a really good stripper, or a really gay drug dealer.
Oh, man. Why would you try to hide that much money up your ass?
It was all $20 bills to make it better.
Ooh.
Only
500. That's a fat wad.
It's 500 bills in your asshole.
Jesus Christ.
I wonder if he had to, like, stack them, like, 250 in each roll.
Maybe.
Nice.
He might have had a little bit of time when he was getting busted.
I guess.
And he went to the super lube. And
just imagine the act of this dude rolling up a grand and then having to squat down and put it in his butthole.
Why? I mean, I get it. You know you're going to jail. You want to roll up there with something.
Some shitty money.
Hey. Shitty money is better than titty money. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Because there's some shit on that money.
Stripper money.
Oh, man. That is... No. Don't do that.
Do not.
Don't do that.
Do not put money in your asshole.
Please don't do that.
Unless you're a stripper, then it's okay.
Sometimes.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Sometimes.
Collect your tip somehow.
Yo, don't put that tip in my ass. Tell you that right now.
That's right. You can put it in mine.
Okay. All right. So on that note, that's going to conclude this episode of Booze with the Hound.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it as much as we have. I'm pretty hopped up on these hops.
Yes.
I'm about to fall over on my chair. Not really, because I'm sitting pretty sideways, upright. Pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Check us out. We're going to post pictures of the beer that we reviewed and a couple other funny clips. We
saved it so we can re-upload it.
We had a denim day today.
Oh, yeah, we did.
A denim day today.
Denim boys.
The denim boys.
Hell yeah.
Showed up with my denim jacket. I didn't wash my denim jeans, so I didn't wear them. But Wyatt here showed up in a full fucking denim outfit.
Canadian tuxedo.
He's got denim pants. He's got a denim button-up shirt. And he had a denim jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
And our other counterpart.
Sorry.
Owen Stroker showed up with
a wiener Stobiski.
A denim shirt. And some denim jeans. So, we were the denim boys today.
Denim boys.
So, I got a clip of us going to lunch. It's just me and Wyatt in the scene. Unfortunately, we didn't get Owen on there, but we have a picture. I'll probably post that on there too. We them boys. We them denim boys.
We denim boys.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. I'm going to post the clip of us going to Total Wine. And, yeah, that's going to wrap it up for us.
For real. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. Send us more stories. Love listening or love seeing other listeners suggest stories.
Yeah, for real.
The last 2 weeks, it's just been done on listener stories. So,
yeah.
So it's been good. So keep sending those in. Thank you. We appreciate you. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Go follow us on Instagram. All that bullshit. And yeah, this is Rob J, aka the Boo Sound Mazzarino, signing out.
Deep Wyatt Elbow signing off.
So you guys have a good life. And we'll catch you guys, and you will catch us on the next one.
On the flip.
Peace.